Blog Talk Radio.
After years of blood, sweat, and tears, it all comes down to this.
Draft Weekend Odine. To celebrate this year's Gridiron Draft, the Fantasy Sports Channel is rushing more than 24 hours of live draft action your way.
And we're the only place on the planet to do it with a fantasy football twist.
Excitement begins Saturday, April 25th at 10 a.m. Eastern, with 14 continuous hours of nonstop draft day coverage, plus another live draft block beginning Sunday at 11 a.m. Eastern. The Fantasy Sports Channel. Only on Blog Talk Radio.
It's a schedule you can bet on.
Ladies, if your boyfriend isn't listening to B-Spec,
Brian Spector,
then reach over, grab his knob, and turn it up.
We ready.
Football fans, it's that time. NFL Spectacular with Big Spec, Brian Spector.
You know Big Papi.
If you want to get in on the show, then dial 347-945-6275. Or, for all you computer nerds, you can go online at NFLDraftBible.com.
Spector always delivers what he promises.
He's your resident football expert.
Are you serious? Melon couldn't hit water if he fell out of a boat.
He's the king of the combine.
The guy runs the 40-yard dash in 4 forever.
He's the voice of the angry fan.
If that happens, I might as well go hang myself with wax dental floss.
He's B-Spec, Brian Spector.
Yes! Yes! Oh, yes!
I'm absolutely, without a doubt, a true believer.
And he's on right now on the All Access Football Network.
Set your pie hole! We're working here!
Let's get her!
Another edition of the NFL Spectacular, folks. Good afternoon. I'm B-Spec Brian Spector, taking you the next hour. We'll take your phone calls. We'll have some guests. The NFL draft is 5 days away. Does the intrigue set in? Are you excited to see what your team is going to do? You're starting to hear the rumblings and the rumors already. Who your team is interested in? Just to let you know, if everybody is coming out and saying your team is interested in this player, well, if you're the Detroit Lions, of course you're interested in every player. You went 0-16. Don't read into everything you hear. Don't read into it. Because every time you think your team is going to take a player, oh, they need a wide receiver. Oh, they need this position. Oh, they need that position. Chances are, 90% of the time, they're not even going to address that position early on. That's why scouts get paid what they get paid. General managers get paid to make those decisions. The coaches, the presidents, they get paid to make the decisions that none of us get paid to make. You can make observations. You think you know what your team needs, but you really don't. That's why you do what you do, and they do what they do. I have an idea of what positions each team needs. I'm not going to come out and say, oh, well, they're definitely going to take this guy. I have no idea whatsoever. I'm basing it on what I think each team needs, based on which player could potentially fall to them. Some teams take the best player on the board. Some teams go according to need. If you have the 30th-ranked defense, you automatically assume, oh, they're definitely taking defense. If an offensive player slips 4 to 5 spots that you didn't think was going to be there, and they take offense, they're taking the best player on the board at that time. This is the annual NFL poker game. Teams are going to come out and say, I'm going after this guy, or make everybody think they like this guy to mess with the minds of general managers and team presidents and coaches on other teams. Why do they do that, you ask? Because that's another spot or two that the player they like could potentially slip down. That's why teams trade up. That's why they trade down. The draft is very important right now. Most teams like to accumulate picks, not give up picks, which was a hot commodity a few years ago. You see a lot of teams that want to trade down, but they want the right compensation. Years ago, you would have a player. Oh, I'm going to trade this player, and I'm easily going to get a number one draft pick. Back 3 years ago, yes. This day and age, that's not going to happen. If you trade a top-notch player, depending upon what age he is, you might get a second, third, fourth-round pick. Dolphins trader Jason Taylor was able to get a second-round pick. Most teams said you get a third, fourth, fifth-round pick because of his age. A second-round pick is a great deal at that point because Jason Taylor is 33, 34 years old at that point. Now you got guys like Anquan Boldin. You got guys like Chad Ochocinco. The Cardinals want a first and a third round pick for Anquan Boldin. Anquan's going to be 29 years old, has some injury concerns, plus you have to give him a big contract. There might be a team that would do it. Personally, I wouldn't. If you accumulate just a third-round pick right now, just a second-round pick, you're doing a good job. The years of getting multiple picks, I think what the Philadelphia Eagles gave up for Jason Peters is absolutely ridiculous. And when you go and you tell me Jason Peters is the best left tackle in the National Football League, really? Jason Peters, in a stat that came out last year, gave up 11.5 sacks on his side. 11.5. The number one pick in last year's draft, Jake Long, gave up 2 as a rookie. And you're going to tell me Jason Peters is better than Jake Long? Is he better than Ryan Clady, another rookie for the Denver Broncos last year, who had a hell of a year? I think he gave up the same 2 sacks Jake Long did all season long. Is he better than Marcus McNeil from the San Diego Chargers? I don't think so. We can go up and down the entire league. I can easily, if I wanted to sit here and go through every team, name you 6 to 7 left tackles I'd rather have over Jason Peters. I'm not taking anything away from him. He's a nice player. He's a young player. But what you gave up for him, a 1, a 3, and a 4? That's a lot of picks to give up. Philadelphia, a team that has accumulated a lot of draft picks. I think they had 12 picks coming into this draft. You give up 2, you still have 10 draft picks. I don't mind trading for a player if a player is still young enough to help me for years down the road. Also, with the economical handcuffs some teams have, they're hesitant to give players $60 million. Not that they can't afford it, but everybody wants to make profit. So I have no problem trading for a player if he's young enough and I've accumulated a lot of draft picks. If I have 1 pick in every round and I have 7 picks, I'm not giving up 2 draft picks. The future of the NFL is the draft. Tell that to the New England Patriots, who built a dynasty. They did it through the draft. Talk to me about other players from other teams. The Dallas Cowboys, the Herschel Walker trade, Troy Aikman, Emmitt Smith, Michael Irvin. You trade a player, you bring everybody in, and you built a team that was young. What did the Cowboys do? They won a couple Super Bowls, didn't they? There's a lot that's going to happen on Saturday. There are going to be veteran players getting traded on draft day. There are going to be extensions given out to try and gain salary cap flexibility. There are going to be some players that won't get signed until after the draft. June 1st cuts. People want to address the draft, get those players under contract, and then see who's sitting on the waiver wire. There will be veteran players getting traded on draft day. You will have teams trading up 15, 20 picks. You will have teams trading down. The poker game of the NFL will get started Saturday at 4 o'clock. We'll have continued coverage all the way up until the last pick of the second round. Rounds 1 and 2, folks, will be Saturday. 4 o'clock in the afternoon Eastern time it starts, concludes 10 o'clock at night. And then on Sunday, rounds 3 through 7, 10 a.m. until 6 p.m. Round 1 will be 10 minutes. Each team will have 10 minutes to make their selection. They can make it shorter than 10 minutes. Round 2, teams will have 7 minutes. Rounds 3 through 7, 5 minutes each selection. And all these teams have a general idea of the players they like. Remember, they brought them all in for visits. The players they like, or if they're creating a smokescreen. They are setting aside their draft boards. They are ranking all the players, so they have an idea. They will break it down to 3 or 4 players of their selections coming up. Hey, do we have a shot at this guy? Should we trade up and get him? Should we trade down? It's going to be very interesting to see what happens with the draft. And folks, let's get something straight right now. Matthew Stafford is going to be the number one pick unless there's any kind of contractual dispute. Matt Stafford will be the number one pick in the NFL come Saturday. You're hearing it right here. I love Aaron Curry. He's not going to be the number one pick. I love Jason Smith. He's not going to be the number one pick. And I know Detroit Lions fans don't want to hear that either, but it's the reality right now. Is it possible it could be somebody else? Yes, but only if there's a contract issue. Matthew Stafford will be the number one pick in the draft. And there's a guy that knows a lot about the draft. He's a college football insider. He's a member of the NFL Draft Bible family. And with this week's talking draft, why not bring in members of the family? Dan Moglione is on the line, and he's joining us. Dan, how you doing, my friend?
Pretty good, Speck. What's up? How's it going?
Hey, buddy. You know, I'm living the dream. How are you? How's everything going with you?
Oh, pretty good, man. Can't wait until Saturday rolls around. We're going to have to wait a little longer, obviously, now that they push the time back again. But looking forward to draft weekend, man. Ever since I've been a football fan, I have been a draft fan. And this is where it all begins. You know what I mean? This is where every fan can dream about, you know, the potential future Pro Bowl guy their team is drafting on that day, who they're bringing in to get their team over the hump. You can always be hopeful, wishful. You know, everybody talks about the Super Bowl, but only two teams have a chance on the Super Bowl. On draft day, all 32 teams have a chance, and what's there not to love about that?
And then, you know what, with the draft coming up on Saturday, you know, there are a lot of people that don't understand how can people sit there and watch it all day or really get into it. And it comes down to the fact that not only being your favorite team, but it's more of the intrigue. As I mentioned in the opening segment of the show, what does your team need, but are they going to take what they need? Or do you take the best player on the board? Players are going to slip. Teams are going to make trades. And part of those trades could involve veteran players. So there is a lot of intrigue outside of just watching, well, your team selects. That's one player down, next player. There's so much that goes into this process, what I like to call the NFL poker game.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And, you know, to your point of how some people don't get it, you know, my wife of now 11 years almost, we're high school sweethearts, right? You know, we started dating in high school, and for a couple of years I didn't have cable there, and I went to her house to watch the draft, and I think that's when her parents realized, like, you know, this guy, he really likes sports, man. You know, I think they started looking at it a little differently, and they were like, what is he watching here? You know, what is this? You know, for people that don't even watch sports at all, to be introduced to the draft is like just a shocking thing. But yeah, man, you gotta love it. You know, you go along with the teams, you get to play. You know, for all of us who have discovered early in life we're never going to be pro athletes, the next dream is kind of running the team, and you get to be kind of the GM with each and every pick as a fan sitting home. What would you do? Who would you take? Which guy do you think is overrated? Which guy do you think is a sleeper? I mean, all these words that used to be like industry words are now just words that fans use every day when they talk about this stuff, and it's become more and more popular every year. And like you said, it's you know, what's your philosophy? Do you go with the quote-unquote team need? What's the best team need? Do you go with the safe pick? Do you go with best player available? There's so much debating, arguing with every, you know, with every pick. I remember last year, you know, we had a couple other members of the family here, my co-host on the Football Friday show, Ralph Mancini, and Rodney Tower here. Our editor, Ross Mandel, was here. We watched it at my place. Of course, Mr. Rick Saratella was at the draft himself. But basically, you know, in between every pick, all we did was argue and debate why we agreed or disagreed with each pick.
And you know what? That's what it comes down to. All of your friends want to ask you which players you like, what you think is going to happen. And I'll tell you something. My phone's been burning off the hook because when you go to the combine, you go to the Senior Bowl and talk to as many people around the NFL as I do on a constant basis, everyone is asking me. And I have to tell you this, Dan, and you've known me a while now. One guy comes up to me and he goes, "Who's in your mock draft?" And you know how I feel about mock. And I told him. I said, please, you cannot mention that word around me. I'll give you the guys that I think each team will pick, but we cannot use that word mock around me. And one of the reasons I brought you on, Dan, when you look at the draft, you look at each team, and I'll make it easy for you because I know you're out and about. When you're sitting there and you look at all these teams and what they could potentially take, you look at Detroit. Who's Detroit going to take number one?
Well, I agree with you. I heard you talking before I got on, and I think they're going to go with Matthew Stafford. And by the way, as an aside, I am not a mock draft guy myself. I like to rank the players and talk about them, but I've never been a big mock guy. If you go to our site, we have mocks there because the fans love that stuff. We have Reverend Ralph's mocks. We have Justin Van Fulpen's mock. We have Rick Saratella's mock. I don't have a mock there because, like you said, it's really just complete and utter guesswork in terms of who can go where, and you know, you take one guy out and it changes everything, and you know, people talk, you know, I get a laugh out of all this, to be honest with you. I don't want to go off on a tangent here, but you know, I'm watching ESPN and my man Sal Palantonio, who I love, tells us the Eagles are targeting Knowshon Moreno. Really? I mean, did they let him into the draft room? And if they did, what the heck are the Eagles thinking about? You know what I mean? If you went into this, what you call this, what did you call it? A poker game. Well, when you go to a poker game, the last thing you do is want to show the other guys at the table your cards. Am I right? So, to me, if you are an insider and you know stuff and guys actually give you information, most likely it'll be off the record. And if they leak stuff, it's probably because they want it out there and they want other people thinking that, and they're probably going in the complete opposite direction, you know? I mean, you talk to players. Players will tell you, you know, Dan, I met with 20 teams at the combine, at my pro day, at workouts, and team drafted me. I never spoke to them once in the offseason, not one time. Happens all the time.
Well, Dan, I've spoken to some players about that. And I've asked them, I said, this has come out. Did you meet with this team? They go, I never even met with that team. Now, that doesn't mean that team still won't draft them because they can still like that player. But teams, well, people don't realize teams will leak information on purpose because they want other teams to think they actually have an interest in that player. So that means, oh, wow, we might want to jump up and get this player, which means, A, they're going to trade, you're going to get another draft pick, or they're going to trade up and get the player that team thinks they like, and the guy they really like is slipping down one more slot.
Exactly, and you know, you don't see it any more than I think, you know, with the whole, not to get off Matthew Stafford, who I know you were asking about, but the whole Mark Sanchez thing. You know, do the Seattle Seahawks, are they really considering taking Mark Sanchez?
No shot.
Or are they trying to are they trying to drum up value there for that fourth pick?
No shot. Mark, I will tell you this right now, and before we go back to Stafford, because you just mentioned Mark Sanchez, I'm going to tell you right now. And I'm good, and you know, I'm good friends with Todd McShay, and Todd McShay has Sanchez going 4 to Seattle, and I will disagree with my man. There is no shot Mark Sanchez goes number 4 to Seattle. That could be an intriguing slot if that pick is traded. If there are no trades, I think Sanchez goes 8 to Jacksonville. That is my guess. At 4, you know, Matt Hasselbeck's getting up there in age a little bit. He's had the back trouble. We understand that. But let's call it like we see it. Matt Hasselbeck is not in a rocking chair. He's not incapable of still playing. And part of the problem Seattle has is that it doesn't matter who your quarterback is. If you can't protect him, he's going to get killed. You can have back trouble at age 40, age 30, age 20. It doesn't matter if that quarterback is taking hits. And I'm telling everybody right now, barring any trades, if Seattle stands pat at number four, they sign TJ Houshmandzadeh, they are going to take Eugene Monroe, the tackle, out of Virginia, put him at right tackle to complement Walter Jones on the left side. Walter Jones is getting up there in age. And then there is your bookend protector for your quarterback of the future in Eugene Monroe, because Jason Smith goes to St. Louis. I don't think there's a shot of Seattle taking Mark Sanchez. But like you said, it's creating intrigue and seeing what can happen, who is going to trade up, and what they're going to offer.
Yeah, and apparently, you know, the Fed right now is, you know, people just want to trade down. Nobody wants a top 10 pick. Nobody wants the first overall pick. And to me, I think it's ridiculous on two levels. One, the economics here have to be fixed. There's no doubt about that. I mean, the purpose of giving the worst team the first pick, it's supposed to be a good thing to have the first pick in the draft, not a negative thing. But if, you know, the way the money is being structured, it's causing a problem here where it devalues having that first overall pick. And believe me, Brian, I am 99% of the time I'm on the player side of these things, because the owners make a lot more money than the players do. And believe me, if the owners didn't make the money, they wouldn't pay it to the players. And it's not as if, you know, they would charge us less if they paid them less, because I think that's such a farce when people bring that up. They're going to charge as much as they can. Whatever the demand is for their tickets, for their products, they're going to charge the maximum amount to make the most money. So I don't mind the players getting the money, but I do kind of like the NBA system where you have the slotting, and I don't mind the idea of, hey, get into the league for a couple of years. If you've proven something, then you'll get your huge payday. Now, the other idea is where, you know, teams don't want that first pick, and it's kind of like, come on, dude. You got to want the first pick from the perspective of you know, having the first opportunity to pick a player. That's an advantage for you. I mean, to think that the Lions would rather have the fourth pick, taking the economics out of the side, to me is beyond ridiculous. I mean, I really feel this is like a, you know, a drafting scared mentality. So, for example, take my New York Jets last year. People might say they were happy with the sixth pick, because even if Golston turns out to be a bust, they could always say, well, everybody knew it was a five-player draft, and we were stuck at six, and we kind of had to take Golston. So it's almost like they get a free pass for taking a guy who maybe will turn out to be a bust. But if you had the second or third pick, and you took a guy who turned out to be a bust, and you passed up, let's say, a Matt Ryan or somebody else who turned out to be a really good player, then suddenly there's more pressure on you. I mean, come on, if you have confidence in your abilities as an organization, as a talent evaluator, you should want as high a pick as possible and get
right.
The guy that you know is going to be good.
And you know what's funny is the fact, too, when these guys get paid to make these decisions. Every team has scouts. You're out
exactly.
There making talent year-round. If you are good at what you do, you will find great players. And you know what? Not every player makes it. You got to remember, you have 240-some-odd players get drafted, okay? How many players play college football? Undrafted free agents. It is a crapshoot. You don't know what's going to happen. There are busts all the time. And you know what? Not every single pick in the first round is going to be a great player. I'm going to guarantee you 3/4 of them are going to be busts. But there are players that are great players but become amazing players due to coaching. That's where
yes.
Coaching comes in. That's where talent evaluating comes in. And I know Detroit Lions fans are not happy because, oh, Matt Stafford's going to be a bust. Listen, I know if you're a Lions fan, you have nothing to be optimistic about. It happens. Every team goes through their rough patches. And seriously, I know the hot pick is Aaron Curry. He's going to be a star. He's the safe pick. But you know what? As bad as the economy is, man, people still go to games. Tickets still sell. And a team like the Lions need to face the franchise, and I know they're, oh, Joey Harrington, oh, my Lord. Matt Millen is not there anymore. Joey Harrington is not there. Calvin Johnson was a great draft pick. Roy Williams was a really good player, even though he's not with the team anymore. Still a very good, productive player. You need a face in the franchise. And people ask me, Dan, oh, well, last year the Dolphins needed a quarterback, and why'd they take Jake Long, number one overall, so why don't the Lions do that with Jason Smith? Because, and I'll answer that right now, that last year's draft was a little bit deeper at the quarterback position. The Lions have two number one picks. The Dolphins didn't have two number one picks. So when they knew they can get Chad Henne, or you can get a Brian Brohm, or a quarterback that has a lot of potential in the second round, you can afford to take that franchise tackle and address both positions. Chad Pennington came to them in June. If I'm the Lions, you've got to take that face of the franchise number one. At number 20, you can still get a solid player with a lot of potential, like a Will Beatty from Connecticut, a guy that can play left tackle. But if you take that tackle one, the third best quarterback, in my opinion, Josh Freeman, who I think is going to be a star in a few years, may not be there at 20. So then you're in big trouble. Who is going to be your quarterback? Are you going to go with Dante Culpepper and not groom a young guy, or groom a young guy that you don't think has a future?
Yeah, no, I don't disagree at all. I think the thing you can't do is draft scared. You know what I mean? You can't draft scared. And I would say, you know, if I was a Dolphins, I personally would have gone with Matt Ryan myself. You know what I mean? I would have gone with the quarterback and not necessarily the quote-unquote safer pick in Jake Long. Although, you know, obviously both teams, I think, are happy with their guys. But I'd rather have the franchise quarterback than the franchise left tackle if I had my druthers. And, you know, I think that idea of the whole safe pick, I mean, I don't know. I mean, was it Robert Gallery the safe pick as opposed to Eli Manning and Phillip Rivers? You know, I mean, Mike Williams was the fourth overall pick as an offensive tackle. How about the year Mike Vick went number one? He was kind of a guy that was a boom or bust guy. Who went number two? Leonard Davis, the safe pick, offensive tackle. So just because we say a guy's a safe pick and the guy is not going to be a bust doesn't mean he really is a safe pick. At the end of the day, we're projecting for all of these players, not just the quarterbacks.
Yes, and that's why you're never going to win. You're not going to win everybody over, but in this case, you got to take the quarterback. Give those fans a reason to come to the stadium. And the cover isn't there in Detroit. Well, people don't realize, everyone can say, oh, their defense was the worst in the league. Okay, their defense wasn't very good, but who's the face of that franchise? Name me a face of the franchise on the Detroit Lions. And if you draft a Matt Stafford, you know what, Dan? You got Matt Stafford. You got a number one receiver in Calvin Johnson. You got a number one running back in Kevin Smith, young kid from Central Florida. You have Rudy Johnson still under contract. You have some nice little pieces on that offensive side of the football. And this is where coaching comes in, too. What did you think of Jim Schwartz as a defensive coordinator in Tennessee the past 10 years? The guy's done a pretty good job, don't you think?
Oh, no doubt about it. And I think it also comes into coaching with the guys you draft. Yeah, of course. And I think a lot of it is the coaching when the players come into the draft. It seems like when a guy busts, all the onus is on the player busted or the GM made a bad choice. But, sometimes it has to be the coach didn't coach him up properly. You know what I mean? There's a reason certain coaches get the most out of their draft picks and others don't.
Yeah. No, I couldn't agree more. And that's why you look at teams like the Patriots, why they've been so successful. Because not only do they draft well, they bring up their talent, they coach up their talent, they make them better players. And that's the sign of a successful ball club. And we know that all teams aren't like that because some teams have better personnel departments than others. And some personnel departments destroy their teams. And that's what happens to the Lions. And when you don't draft well, you have teams that are in the basement and they stay in the basement because they have very, very suspect personnel departments.
Yeah, I'm very big on going with the best player and getting good players. You know, you can never have too many good football players. Don't worry about the value. Obviously, you have to keep team needs somewhat in mind, But to me, I would hate to take a player I don't think is as good just because I think it might fill a need. Because what if it doesn't? You know, so often you see teams pigeonhole themselves into a certain position because we have to take this position. But, you know, if the guy doesn't turn out to be any good, you didn't make your team a better team, and you also didn't fill that team need. You know what I mean? I think back to, you know, I don't know why this guy popped into my head right now, but the year the Giants really needed a defensive tackle and they took William Joseph out of the U, I thought they kind of forced that pick because that was their quote-unquote team need. But when the guy busts, it's still a need. You still need to get a good football player in that position. So to me, get a good football player. I've never seen a team lose games because they have too many good football players at a certain position. You know what I mean?
I couldn't agree more, as a matter of fact, and that's why people don't know what's going to happen. They don't know what's going to happen. You're going to have the best player on the board, team need. This guy was able to slip down. You can't just sit here and pinpoint. I can tell you what I think is going to happen, but I really have no clue because there are going to be things that are going to happen that's going to shock you. It's going to shock me. It's going to shock members of the NFL, friends of ESPN. All of the experts are going to be shocked. We don't know what's going to happen. We just take what I like to call guesstimations, you know?
Yes. Yes. It happens every year where you're surprised, whether it's a trade changing things, whether it's a team taking a guy. You know, I kind of laugh when I hear, well, Harvin's going to slip out of the first round, or Hakeem Nicks or Kenny Britt aren't really first-round picks. It's like, you know, a couple years ago, I really don't remember too many people predicting Anthony Gonzalez and Craig Davis would both go in the first round. So there's always going to be picks sprinkled in that's going to surprise you. There's always going to be guys that jump into the first round that nobody had going into the first round. Logan Mankins a few years ago with the New England Patriots, nobody had him in their, you know, mock draft. You know, to me, those final that last quarter of the first round, those final eight picks, to me, that's almost like you're already starting the second round once you get to those picks, and there's a big mix of guys that could go in that range. So it's really difficult to predict. I think those last six to eight picks that go in the first round, it could be almost any guys that could go in there, and they'll guaranteed there'll be a couple guys that's going to surprise people.
Dan Moglione from the NFL Draft Bible and our College Football Insider joining us here on the All Access Sports Line. On the B-Spec Brian Spector NFL Spectacular. Dan, before I let you go, I'm going to name the top 10 teams. At this point right now, tell me who you think they're going to take, okay? You with me on this?
Sure. You know, after we bash the mock, let's go do one, right?
We're not doing one. This is not a mock. I'm just saying, what do you think is going to happen, my friend? We're not using that word, that word of our vocabulary. The Detroit Lions.
Well, I think they're going to go Stafford there. I think it just makes too much sense. I think, you know, he's got the ability. He's got a lot of potential. You know, is he as a quote-unquote safe pick or a sure thing as, let's say, a Peyton Manning or a John Elway? Hey, I mean, those guys come along once every 10 years or so, but I think he definitely warrants going number one overall a lot more than other guys who have in the past, let's say like an Alex Smith who went number one overall. So I think it fits both a team need, and he's got that kind of Pro Bowl potential. I mean, how can you not be impressed by his physical tools?
Of course. I agree. And really quickly, St. Louis, who they taking?
I'm going to go with you. I'm going to go with Mr. Smith out of Baylor at the tackle position. I think personally it's a little high for him, but I think it definitely makes sense for them with Orlando Pace moving on.
Okay, and to quickly go through them really fast again, Kansas City, who are they taking?
Kansas City, I'm going with Curry there.
Okay,
the linebacker.
Number four, Seattle.
Staying with your pick, Eugene Monroe, right tackle, and eventually he's going to replace Walter Jones on the left side.
Okay, Cleveland at five.
Cleveland at five, I think they're going to go Michael Crabtree and set themselves up to move Edwards if they haven't already at that point.
You and I are on the same five as we get to these last five picks before I let you go. I have a sleeper at number six. Who do you got at six with Cincinnati?
Cincinnati at six, I'm going Mr. Andre Smith, the tackle out of Alabama.
Hey, you're right on target with me so far, my friend. we're in agreement on the top six. Really fast, number seven, Oakland.
Oakland, they got a need for speed, so they're going to go with wide receiver Jeremy Maclin out of Missouri. As a Jet fan, to my chagrin, he will not slip to 17.
Jacksonville at 8.
Jacksonville at 8. I'll go with the guy you brought up earlier, Mark Sanchez. Not a bad spot for him because he probably won't have to start from day one, so they'll go get their quarterback of the future.
Green Bay at 9.
Green Bay at 9. Switch into that 3-4 scheme. They're going to look for an outside pass rusher. They're going to go Brian Arakpo out of Texas.
And San Francisco at 10.
San Francisco at 10. They're going to be tempted, I think. Should I go Josh Freeman? I'm going to go Josh Freeman here. They're going to get a quarterback, too. They're going to take Mr. Josh Freeman and kind of put an end to the Alex Smith era in San Francisco.
There you have it. Dan Moglione, our college football insider, the NFL draft Bible, hardest working man in the business, keeps everything going, keeps everything going strong. Dan, you are a stud. Can't thank you enough, my friend. I'm definitely going to be talking to you soon.
All right, man. Thanks for having me on.
You got it, buddy. Talk to you soon. Dan Moglione from the NFL Draft Bible, College Football Insider, giving his insight on the NFL Draft. Great to have him on. And another guy that's always great to have on, another member of the NFL Draft Bible family. You can see his mock draft on NFLDraftBible.com, as much as I hate doing them. He's a friend of the show, a friend of mine, knows his football, Justin Van Fulpen. Justin, how are you, buddy?
Good. How's it going, man?
Hey, you know, man, everything is going great. You getting ready for Saturday?
Yeah. You know, it's like the Super Bowl. You know, and one person asked me yesterday, said, "Hey, would you rather watch the Super Bowl or the NFL Draft?" And I had to say, "Hey, the NFL Draft," because you know there is no losers in the NFL Draft. So the team that plays where I reside can't lose on Saturday. So the Lions can't go 0-17.
Well, there's one thing though. You see, there are teams that can be losers on Saturdays. You just won't know it till 2 years down the road.
Everybody thinks they're a winner come on Saturday, as far as everybody's going to be excited about their, you know, first and second round picks, and all the fans and all the cities, you know, will be excited, you know, expecting these players to be, you know, top-notch, you know, Pro Bowl caliber type players. And like you said, in 2 years down the road, we'll really know who was the winners and losers.
Don't you just love it, though, when the draft is over? Even the first day of the draft, they'll sit there and they'll go, "So, Joe Schmo, who was the big winner today?" "Well, I graded them an A." "Are you kidding me? The guys that stepped, they haven't had a mini camp. The guys that stepped on the field. How the hell are you grading them after they draft the guy?"
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, it's good for television. I guess it's good for the ratings to see what people try to get that debate going, you know, back and forth. So it's all posturing and it's all for naught until we see what they can do on the field, that's for sure.
No, I'm with you, my friend. And one thing I wanted to ask you, one thing that I thought was pretty funny, as a matter of fact, that I was only going to talk to you about this, and I was mentioning to other people, and I had them on the floor. Before we get into it, you know who's going to be working for ESPN with the draft, right, as a draft insider, helping them out with their coverage?
I don't know if this is a joke or for real.
I'm being serious. I'm being very serious.
They've got a lot of guys. I mean, I know they've got McShay and Piper and, you know.
Well, they brought somebody new in that's going to help them just for the draft, another insider per se. You ready to laugh?
Are you talking about Matt Millen?
Yes, they brought in Matt Millen. The guy single-handedly has destroyed a franchise. He can't draft for anything in the world, and ESPN's going to bring him in for his draft insight on draft day? What the hell do you expect the guy to say? I suck?
Yeah, you know what? I hadn't heard that. It's interesting. I knew that they were bringing him in to do to replace the Emmitt Smith role, but I didn't know that he was going to be doing draft coverage. That's crazy.
He's being brought in for draft coverage. I'm like, come on, seriously. Whoever made that decision should be fired. Have they seen what he's drafted?
Maybe they're gonna go. Okay, hey, who do you think did well, Matt? Okay, we know those guys are gonna be busts.
You know what they're gonna say? Goodell's gonna come up to the podium just as he's about to announce Matt Stafford as the first pick, and all of a sudden Matt Millen's gonna stand up and say, "Wait, make sure it's a wide receiver. Hold on, where's Michael Crabtree?"
Yeah, you know, he's definitely sort of put that franchise, you know, down as far as a course where a lot of people, you know, are hoping that they can bring him back here, but it's going to take many years, and he set that franchise back, you know, far, you know, so far that they had to change their logo yesterday to try to get rid of that Matt Millen era, you know, contempt there.
Well, let me tell you something. That new logo, oof, I'm really scared now, aren't you? They got a new logo.
They got some teeth and some fangs, you know. They're gonna, you know, they're gonna shred you up.
Let's get to it now, my friend. Matthew Stafford has to be the number one guy. Now, what people don't realize is that you are up in the Michigan area. You live in Michigan, as a matter of fact. You're in Grand Rapids. You're around the Detroit Lions a lot. Justin, is there really – and, you know, I'll mention this really fast. I just had Dan Moglione on the show, and I mentioned this to Dan as well. Lions have two first-round picks, okay? They got the number one overall, and they have pick number 20. Now, I'll use the Dolphins from last year as an example. Dolphins with the number one pick decided to go with Jake Long over Matt Ryan. And the way I look at it is, okay, the Dolphins went Jake Long number one, who they thought was going to be a Pro Bowler, and he was last year, a Pro Bowl left tackle. The Dolphins were then able to address the quarterback position in the second round. Brian Brohm was there. They picked up Chad and Henne. There was depth at the quarterback position on paper in last year's draft. I don't see that at all in this year's draft on paper. I'm not saying there aren't guys that can't be sleepers later on. I mentioned to you a guy that I love is Curtis Painter. But Curtis is a sixth, seventh-round pick. But you knew Henne and Brohm last year were going to be those second-round guys. And there were other quarterbacks as well. Outside of Stafford and Sanchez, we're both going to go top 10. And Josh Freeman is going to go in the top 20, who won't even be there when the Lions pick at number 20. But I think they can address an offensive tackle at number 20, a guy that can come in and play, which is why I think the Lions should go Stafford number one. And then number 20, there might be a guy like Will Beatty, the left tackle from Connecticut, who can come in and play. Might struggle a little bit, but any rookie's going to struggle, which is why I think you have to go Stafford number one.
Yeah, and definitely, you know, I think as far as what they need is a face of that franchise. They've been lacking for many years and since Barry Sanders left. A guy who the fans can rally around, you know. Is Matthew Stafford, is he better than Matt Ryan? A lot of people will say probably not, you know, as far as, you know, coming out and playing as a rookie. Probably not. He's probably a little bit, you know, as far as down that road, going to take some time. But I think he's not going to play this 2009 season. They've got Dante Culpepper. And really, I don't think they'll go 20 with that offensive tackle. I mean, Jeff Backus is serviceable. If you look at the history where, as far as Jim Schwartz has been, they've never drafted a high offensive tackle there in Tennessee for the years he was in Tennessee and the years when he was in the personnel department there in Cleveland.
That's a great point. You look at Tennessee right now, who are their two tackles? Stewart and Roos. Roos was a third rounder, I believe. I'm just going based off knowledge here. And Stewart was a fifth rounder.
Yeah, so I look at, you look at it and say, okay, hey, I think they're going to go, you know, they're going to try to trade back with that 20th pick. They want a linebacker. They want either Laronitis or Ray Magaluga to be that, you know, middle linebacker for the next five to 10 years and be a guy who can be a run stopper. That's what they're missing. They got Ernie Sims and Julius Peterson on the outside, so they need a top-notch middle linebacker. And then to go with that, you know, as far as in the second round, they could definitely take. I think as far as you had mentioned William Beatty, I think he's in that 33 to 40 range, not in the top 20. But if a Michael Orr now drops down to top as far as the 20th pick, which I don't think he will, I think he's going to be gone in that first 11. I think those top four offensive tackles will go by the 11th pick. But if he somewhere slips now, and he's a guy who's worth that 20th pick, but a Beatty and a Britton from Arizona, those guys are more in that 35 to 40 type range. And, you know, I could see the Lions, you know, they're trying to trade back. They're trying to move back. Martin Mayhew addressed today as far as that he, you know, he's looking to trade back as far as, yeah, they've had some discussions with that first overall pick, but they won't be able to, they don't think they'll be able to trade that first overall pick just because of the money that's involved in that. But the 20th and the 33rd pick, they've had a lot of discussion with a lot of teams, and I think those two picks are in play, and if they can pick up Stafford, a middle linebacker, and an offensive tackle, and as far as, you know, those are the top three pressing needs, and then maybe a defensive tackle, they've done pretty well if those players can pan out and be starters for that team for the next, you know, 5 to 10 years.
Yeah, and the one thing that you made a great point is I think Ray Mauluga will be there at 20. And let me tell you something. If you can get a Matt Stafford, you get a Ray Mauluga at 20, you arguably got two of the best position. You arguably got the best quarterback and the best middle linebacker in the draft, in my opinion. And that's what you need to do when you're a team that has so many needs. But when you can address leaders, guys that are successful, you have to do it. And before I let you go on the Mauluga point, when you go back to Stafford, the one thing that drives me crazy, Justin, is when people say, he may not be Matt Ryan. He won't be Matt Ryan. Well, we didn't know Matt Ryan was going to be Matt Ryan or Joe Flacco was going to be Joe Flacco. But, you know, not everybody's going to come out and beat Ben Roethlisberger, come out as a rookie and just light the lamp. Pittsburgh had a pretty good team around him, too. Now, my whole point being that, you know, those guys have a tendency to struggle in year two. You know, teams know how to prepare for them now. They know what to expect, and they couldn't figure them out their rookie year. And a perfect example of that is Vince Young. And the one thing that Matt Stafford comes from that Matt Ryan didn't is Stafford played, in my opinion, the toughest conference in all of college football in the SEC. The SEC had 6 defenses in the top 30 in all of college football. 6. So Matt Stafford is going up against some of the best competition in college. So I think he's mentally ready, and nobody has the physical tools this kid has. You could talk about Joey Harrington went 3 overall. I love Matt Ryan. I love Flacco. But Flacco doesn't have the footwork that Matt Stafford has. Flacco's got an incredible arm. Matt Ryan has a great arm. Matthew Stafford has a stronger arm than both of those guys. So I think Matthew Stafford is a guy that can come in and compete with Dante Culpepper and even unseat him this year because you know what, Justin? If they start off 0-4 with Culpepper, you're going to see Stafford. You're going to see him early.
Yeah, definitely. You know, they need that. They need that face of that franchise, and Matthew Stafford fits that. You know, hey, he's a you know, for a well-liked guy, he's a leader. You know, everybody say that in Georgia. You know, I think he's what the NFL is about. He, you know, kind of, you know, helps promote the Lions. So, you know, he'll be good in the community. You know, and, yeah, that's a lot of money. And if he doesn't turn out to be everything you hope he's going to be, you know, you're going to be like what Alex Smith was, you know, 5 years ago with the San Francisco 49ers. You're still looking for that quarterback. But I think you've got to go out there when there's not a Reggie Bush or it's not a Mario Williams, there's not somebody that is, wow, he's, you know, he's that top of the – when there's nobody there, you got to take the quarterback when you don't have a franchise quarterback. And I think, you know, these three quarterbacks, Stafford, Sanchez, and Josh Freeman, is going to be like the class in 2004 when you had Roethlisberger, Manning, and Phillip Rivers. I think these three quarterbacks are going to be all good quarterbacks in the NFL. Like you said, there is nobody. After Freeman goes in the top 20, there's nobody that's going to be worth drafting until the third, fourth round on the quarterback position. So that's the situation that the Lions are in. So, and do you wait? You know, do you wait till next year and hope you can get Colt McCoy or Sam Bradford, which I don't think those players are as good as Matthew Stafford, or hope, you know, it's Jimmy Clausen, you know. I mean, so then you're playing the waiting game. Go out there, get your franchise quarterback, then build a team around him, and then in 2010, 2011, maybe then you're competing, you know, in that NFC North.
Yeah, and you make a great point. Do you sit here and wait until next year saying, all right, well, let's skip this, maybe we can get our franchise quarterback? You can't afford to do that. You're still operating a business. You want to put butts in the seats. You want fans of the game, and if you're not showing a commitment to wanting to better the team the way they look at it, you're not going to be successful. And I don't get why fans are potentially booing the Matt Stafford pick. This is not Matt Millen drafting anymore. You know, this is a brand new regime. And when you have a brand new regime, it implements change all over, and change is good, and change is what you need. And I think fans should be ecstatic to potentially have Matt Stafford on their team. And you know what, Justin? It's probably going to cost $35 million in guaranteed money to lock up that number one pick.
Yeah, it's going to be an $80 million overall contract, and that's the big deal, you know, as far as because the quarterback, he's going to get a premium, you know, and he's going to get more than Jake Long got last year and more than Matt Ryan got with the third overall pick. And unfortunately, that's the flawed system that we have in the NFL right now in that draft where the top 10 picks really aren't as valued as they were, you know, say, you know, 10 years ago, where, hey, if you had the number one pick, you know, you could trade. And look at what San Diego did a number of years ago when they had the number one pick with Michael Vick. They traded to get out of that, and, you know, they reaped the benefits. You can't do that anymore because nobody wants those top 10 picks because there's too much money that's involved.
Speaking of the top 10, you know, when you and I talk a lot, we're not big fans of the mock drafts. I mentioned this a couple of times. But, of course, with the draft being on Saturday, I'm going to name the team. And just tell me, based on – and, you know, Justin, we're not going to base it not only on a guess, and I know we're making guesses, but you and I talk to tons of people around the league. We talk to scouts. We talk to national analysts, people that talk to general managers of the teams. We talk to GMs as well. And everyone's going to play the poker game and say, oh, well, we like this guy, because everybody wants to leak information with certain guys on purpose. So their guy slips lower. We're going to see a lot of trades. I think this could be the first year we see a lot of veterans getting traded within the draft process as well. Detroit at number one, you have Stafford. St. Louis at number two, who are they taking?
I think Jason Smith is the pick. You know, there's some rumors about possibly Aaron Curry, but I think Jason Smith goes. They want a replacement for Orlando Pace.
Kansas City at number three.
Obviously, I think this is the move where they, Pioli would like to get out of the third pick as far as the money that's involved and add extra picks. But I think, you know, a lot of people have said, hey, Curry's going to go there. I think they go with another tackle from Virginia and take Eugene Monroe and move Brandon Albert to the right side and have two bookends for Matt Castle.
Really? So you think Aaron Curry doesn't get past three?
I think he gets past three.
That's what I meant. Really? So you don't think Kansas City – you know, and Justin, when I look at it, Kansas City brings in Zach Thomas. They trade for Mike Vrabel. They have Derek Johnson. You don't see them potentially getting that middle linebacker in the 3-4 system, someone that can learn next to Zach Thomas for a year, and Vrabel and Johnson on the outside solidify those four linebackers in that 3-4. You still think they're going to go Eugene Monroe?
I think they're going to go Eugene Monroe because I think Aaron Curry is a perfect fit as a 4-3 outside linebacker. I think it lessens his value if you say, hey, you move him inside and, you know, play that middle linebacker position in that 3-4 defense or try to, you know, as far as make it an outside pass rusher, which he's not. He is that overall, you know, as far as, you know, strong side, outside linebacker in a 3-4 defense who can do multiple things, drop in coverage, play the run. I mean, he's a prototypical 4-3 outside linebacker. And I think if you draft him as in a 3-4 defense, I think you're doing a disservice to his skills and you're devaluing that pick with that third pick. Now, Pioli wants to get out of there, wants teams who want Sanchez to move up to get ahead of Seattle, and he's playing that pretty close to the vest and really wants to be able to move out of there. I think you could see a team like Denver maybe move up to three to get, you know, Sanchez so that Sanchez doesn't go to Seattle. So I think when we get to the third pick, I think that's the first.
I don't think Sanchez is going to Seattle. Seattle, I don't think, is interested in Sanchez at all. I think it goes back to that poker game. They want to see what they can get for the pick. They want to make people think they like him. Yes, Hasselbeck was hurt. He's 34 years old. Matt Hasselbeck can still play. I think Seattle likes the guy that you think KC's taking at three. I think Seattle really wants Eugene Monroe, a guy that can eventually replace Walter Jones because he's got, doesn't have a lot of mileage left in the tank, and put him on the right side right now and eventually put him on the left for Walter Jones. So if Kansas City takes Eugene Monroe, which you think they're going to do, then Seattle is the perfect team to stay at four, take the best player on the board, and take Aaron Curry unless somebody's going to wow them with some kind of a deal.
Yeah, but you also have to look at it, and they just put a big extension for Lopatupa. They franchised Leroy Hill. So if they take another linebacker, they just got rid of Julian Peterson, trade him to Detroit because Peterson was making a lot of money. You're going to invest that much money into three linebackers. And I think that's where, you know, that's where they're wrestling with right now with a Sanchez, Aaron Curry, and one of those tackles. And I think as far as their tackles, they've brought in some veterans. They re-signed some guys to long terms. You know, so I think they're feeling that they're set. Now, one guy, a shocker, who, you know, a lot of people have said is Chris Beanie Wells. He could be going there at four. That's a out-of-the-box type thinking, But as far as Jim Moore wants to establish that running game, and he really does like Chris Beanie Wells, now that's a little high, and a lot of people would be surprised, but I think you keep that in mind depending on how everything flows come Saturday.
Well, let me ask you this question now. If Eugene Monroe goes 3, does Seattle at 4 take Andre Smith?
No. No, I think as far as I think if Eugene Monroe goes 3, I think as far as they battle inside, you know, saying, hey, I think they take, you know, as far as Mark Sanchez. I really do. I think as far as, you know, like you said, Hasselbeck still has ability to play, and he's going to play for the next couple years, but it's kind of what did the Packers do with Aaron Rodgers. They sat him for 3 years until they got rid of Favre, and I think that's what you – Hasselbeck's 34, plays the next 2 years, he's at 36, and then they turn the reins over to Mark Sanchez because now they're thinking, hey, our tackle's gone, we kind of liked, you know, Aaron Curry, do we spend that much money and invest all that money into our linebacking core? You know, Beanie Wells, we like him, but he can't take him at 4, so they default into the second-best quarterback on the board and take, you know, Mark Sanchez.
There you go. And, Justin, before I let you go, I want to get the rest of the board. So right now you have Detroit taking Stafford. You got St. Louis on Jason Smith. Kansas City at 3. And, Justin, we're all saying this, barring no trades. We know they're more than likely going to be trades into the top 10. Folks, again, this is without trades. So KC at 3 takes Eugene Monroe. Seattle at 4. Who are they taking? Sanchez?
Sanchez.
Cleveland at 5.
I think they take Michael Crabtree because they're going to trade Braylon Edwards down the road in that draft.
I agree. Cincinnati at 6. I think this is where Andre Smith gets drafted. Who do you have?
I'm going right there, Andre Smith. I think he fits the bill there with the Bengals.
Oakland and geriatric Al Davis, who can't make any good decisions. Who do you got Oakland taking at 7?
You know, I think they're going to, you know, as far as they love speed. Al wants the speed. They take Darius Haywood-Bay.
You think Haywood Bay goes this high? I think Oakland at 7 takes Jeremy Maclin.
Could. I think they could, definitely. But I think as far as Al Davis is in love with speed, he's got the big arm quarterback and Jamarcus Russell. He wants to give him a weapon. And either Maclin or Darius Haywood Bay. I wouldn't be shocked if Haywood Bay goes here.
If Jacksonville at 8 doesn't get Sanchez, who I know they happen to like very much, and a team trades in front of them and gets Sanchez, and they have to pick at 8, and they can't trade down. Who's Jacksonville taking at 8?
Aaron Curry.
And Aaron Curry slipping all the way to 8. And when you think about it, it's possible, but that's very intriguing. Some great points on your part. Green Bay at 9.
I think they take Brian Arakpo.
You know, I had Green Bay taking Everett Brown, but if Arakpo is still there, you got to take Arakpo at 9. I agree with you there. San Francisco at 10.
You know, since Sanchez is gone, I think they go as far as Michael Orr from Ole Miss and as far as take that offensive tackle.
Yep, and I agree. And you can catch all of Justin's terrific work on NFLDraftBible.com. He does a terrific job. Justin, great work, my friend. Appreciate the time here on the show, and thank you for the insight, buddy.
No problem. We'll talk to you later, man.
Talk to you soon, buddy. That's Justin Van Fulpen from the NFL Draft Bible giving his insight on the draft coming up on Tuesday. Thursday, another edition of the NFL Spectacular will be on from 5 p.m. to 6 p.m. Eastern Time. I'm B-Spec Brian Spector. I want to thank my terrific guest, Justin Van Fulpen, giving us some great time talking about the draft. You heard who he thinks is going to go in the top 10. Folks, there are going to be a lot of trades. A lot of things are going to happen you don't think are going to happen. Some guys, I have Aaron Curry in my top 5. He could slip all the way to 8. They're going to be veterans. Where's Marvin Harrison going to end up? Jason Taylor is still out there. Deuce McAllister is still out there. Very, very interesting to see what is going to happen. Want to thank Dan Moglione, our college football insider from the NFL Draft Bible as well. You can catch all of his terrific work. Want to thank him for his time. Again, we will be back Thursday. Another edition of the NFL Spectacular. I'm B-Spec Brian Spector. Again, want to thank all my guests. I want to thank all of you out there for listening and tuning in. All of you listeners, make the show happen. You're absolutely terrific. On Thursday, if all goes well, I'm going to try and have Joe Theismann on the show. We'll get his take on the quarterback, Stafford and Sanchez. Rick Saratella from the NFL Draft Bible will also join us on Thursday. We'll get his insight. 5 days away and counting, folks. NFL Draft, Saturday, underway at 4 o'clock. You can catch it. NFL Network, ESPN, will be all over. Another edition of the NFL Spectacular is over. We're back Thursday at 5. I'm B-Spec, Brian Spector. Thanks for listening. Have a good one.